In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. Well, we planned this series, and Pastor Ron started it off last week, and we thought it might be really interesting and kind of cool if we looked at some of the Sunday school stories that we had all as children, but that we dig a little bit deeper into those stories. So I foolishly chose Balaam and his donkey, all right? So I've been trying to look for some inspiration for this story because it's so odd. And I've been having trouble finding it until just 2 weeks ago when I was on vacation. Someone told me this morning, you're not on vacation, you're retired. I said, but no, I'm not. Well, never mind. Anyhow, I was on vacation, and I was in Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania, where my brother lives, and sitting out on his back patio or back porch, and he lives way out in the middle of nowhere, and a farmer next to him owns about all these acres in the back, and he has 100 head of cow or something like that, a few other animals on the farm. So I was just sitting there looking out there at the animals, enjoying my Western Pennsylvania roots, and lo and behold, my inspiration came to me. That was my inspiration. And the donkey didn't even talk, okay? But, you know, it just appeared to me to be in the right place at the right time, and it got my juices flowing, and so I'd like to introduce to you another more familiar talking donkey.
Donkey? What are you doing?
I would think of all people you would recognize a wall when you see one.
Well, yeah. But the wall's supposed to go around my swamp, not through it.
It is, around your half, see? That's your half, and this is my half.
Oh, your half. Hmm.
Yes, my half. I helped rescue the princess. I did half the work. I get half the booty. Now hand me that big old rock, the one that looks like your head.
Back off!
No, you back off!
This is my swamp!
Our swamp!
Let go, donkey!
You let go!
Stubborn jackass!
Smelly ogre!
Fine!
You see, Shrek used the King James translation for donkey, which most of us grew up on, but I just thought that might be a little bit distracting for us today to use. But at any rate, and I was thinking about this too, you know, Shrek is green. If you add a little bit of gold to him, he could play for the Green Bay Packers. You know that? I mean, just he could. Someone complained that I didn't talk enough about the Packers in my last couple of sermons, so I'm doing it here, okay? Well, really, let's think about this story. And if you think about it, there are some really weird, strange stories in the Bible, aren't there? Now, we begin the Bible with a talking and a deceiving snake. And there's other kind of strange stories there. There's this one strange one in Kings where before Elijah gets taken into heaven, there are some boys and they're calling him Baldy. Hey, Baldy. Hey, old Baldy. And I don't want any comments about that, I'm telling you right now. Because you know what God did? He sent some bears to do in the boys. I bet you haven't heard that one, huh? Maybe you have. But that's kind of a hard story to get. Then there's a story about Lot's wife who turns back and turns into a pillar of salt. And there are just a lot of stories in the Bible that are just kind of different and strange. And sometimes we wonder, why are they there? What are we supposed to do with those? And that's why we want to dig just a little bit deeper into the Bible. So as we look at all those stories, we now get to Balaam and his donkey. When we get to Balaam and his donkey, we have to understand that, as far as I know, animals can't talk. I think it's impossible for them to talk. Now, you might say to me, well, I had a parrot once that said, Polly wants a cracker. Well, parrots can mimic. And you might say, well, I watched a National Geographic special and an ape was speaking. No, they weren't. They were regurgitating a few signs that they were able to learn. As far as I know, there is no creature on this earth capable of taking rational thoughts and expressing them in the spoken or the written word except human beings. Human beings who have been created in the image of God. God has given us a special gift. So when you see a talking donkey, you kind of wonder. Now, I know we see these on TV. Mr. Ed, you remember him, the talking horse? Some of you here are of the vintage. You might even remember Francis the Talking Mule. Anybody remember that? That's an old one, way back when. But this isn't about Dr. Doolittle. This isn't about some CGI character with a dubbed-over voice. This is about a real, live, talking donkey. And you want me to tell you the truth about what I remember about this story in Sunday school? There was a real live talking donkey, and there was an angel with a sword. And I kind of lost it because I was so fascinated with a talking donkey. And so never have I even thought about preaching on this in the past. But I think it's important that we take a look at these accounts and that we understand that there's so much more to them than just what we see on the surface, more than just a talking donkey and a stubborn prophet of God. But before we can do that, we really have to set the stage for you. We have to understand a little bit the context into which Balaam's donkey and Balaam come. The Israelites had wandered for 40 years. They were on the verge of crossing the Jordan and going into the Promised Land. There were nations, obviously, that didn't want them to do that. And so at first the Israelites would go to these kings and these nations and they would try to make peace. Now, that didn't work out so well, and these nations would continually attack them. But of course, God was on their side. God had given them this land. God was going to be with them. And so they conquered these nations after battle after battle after battle. Well, they get now to this crossing, and right on the other side is Moab, and they have a king by the name of Balak. Okay, that's where we get this Balak and Balaam. And Balak was observing what was going on with all these other nations, and he saw they didn't have a chance, not just because of the numbers of people, but because of the strength of their God who was on their side. So in order to counteract that, Balaam called on a prophet by the name of Balaam, who probably lived a distance away over in the area of Iraq, perhaps somewhere in that area. And this was a prophet who actually spoke the word of God. God would speak to him, and God would then speak that word to the people around him. Not an Israelite, nevertheless, a prophet of God. And I think it's fascinating that God can use prophets from anywhere to speak his truth, to speak his word. So Balak sent some messengers to Balaam, and this was their message. Would you come over here and curse the Israelites? Because their God's too strong for us. They're just too strong for us. So if you curse them, maybe we can win. That was the thing that nobody else did. And so Balaam said, well, listen, I got to talk to God about this. And so he goes and he prays to God, and God talks to him, and God says, no, don't go. Don't go. These are my people. I want them to come into the land. Don't go. So Balaam tells the messengers of Balak, and they go back and they tell Balak the whole story. And he says, well, let's sweeten the pot. Let's give him stuff. So they promise him all kinds of worldly possessions and that, and thinking, well, surely he's going to go for that. So they trudge all the way back to Balaam, and they say, we're pleading with you. Will you please come and curse the Israelites? And Balaam says, well, God told me that I wasn't supposed to do it. He told me no. And I don't know if you as a parent ever did this or ever said this to your kids, or maybe as a kid you heard this from your parents. I told you once, don't make me tell you twice. Okay? And kind of that's what God said. Balaam, I already told you, no, don't go. And you know how kids are. They're so persistent, sometimes you give up after a while. And finally God says, I don't want you to go, but if you have to go, go. And so that is the context of this story. And then we read what we heard, was read earlier, that this angel's in the front of Balaam, won't let him proceed. We're going to get to that in just a little bit. So here we are at this account. But I want to talk about some things that don't have to do with the talking donkey or King Balak or even Balaam for a moment. Because this account tells us something deeper. It tells us something about who our God is. And it tells us about who we are. And those are pretty important things to understand. God is our creator, as I'm sure Pastor Ron shared with you last week. It's the one who begins everything. And it's not just The creation account is wonderful in what happens each day and how it's all coordinated and everything, and there's so much order in it and all this. But the main actor in this is God. And the main actor in this story, this account, is God. God is our creator, and God is perfect. That means he is holy, and it means he is just. Remember what he said to Adam after he created him. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." God said that to Adam once. He said, "Don't eat of the tree, or there will be a consequence, and that consequence would be death." Now, I'm not sure Adam really understood what that really meant, but it was even more than physical death. It was eternal death. And that's serious, serious business, obviously. But then we know what happened a little bit later. Adam and Eve listened to a competing voice, the voice of the world and Satan, and their own voice, by the way. They sometimes we blame the snake for it, don't we? Blame the devil. Remember Flip Wilson, he used to say, "The devil made me do it." Well, the devil may put it out there for you, but you did it. Okay, there's a big distinction. Just we need to take accountability as we do in confession and absolution. And so here's where we go, and here's where Adam and Eve went. They did it their way. You remember Frank Sinatra, that song, "I Did It My Way"? And it's a great song. We all love it and all that kind of stuff. I won't sing it to you because I can't. And it's great if you're thinking about being an entrepreneur or lifting yourself up by your bootstraps or that kind of thing. But it's not so good when we think about our relationship with God, when he tells us to do something his way and we go off and do it our way. That's not healthy or good. I tell the story, and I've told it to several times. My mom passed away in 1995, and we were at the funeral home back in Pennsylvania. And all of a sudden came on Frank Sinatra's song, "I Did It My Way." My father went into apoplexic shock at that point. And he made the funeral director take that off because he said she didn't do it her way. She did it God's way. And then he made me go out and buy some CDs so I could play some hymns there and that kind of thing. But that's just who we are. That's always stuck in my mind, and I think it's so true. We want to go off in our own way. When God tells us to do something or God clearly points something out in his word, what do we want to do? We want to argue with him and say, "Well, really, God, you want me to do this?" Or we want to do it the way we want. We want to rip that page out of the Bible and say, "Well, I'm going to forget about that, God. That's just not something I like or I want to do." But God's way is the way, and God gives us his word and spirit to enable us to know exactly what that way is. So Adam and Eve take God at his word for a while, and as we know, they sin, they listen to Satan, and then they themselves decided that they were going to do it their way. And all that beautiful creation, all that order and beauty of creation went into chaos. The world began to disintegrate, and they sinned, and they were cast out of the garden. What I think is so fascinating about the comparison between Balaam and the Garden of Eden, in both cases, God used an angel to prevent them from something. God set an angel in front of the garden to prevent Adam and Eve and all of us from ever going back to that place. God places an angel in front of Balaam so that he could not carry out that order from Balak, that he would not curse the Israelites. What a lesson for us that God sometimes gets our attention in strange ways, even through a talking donkey. And next week, Pastor Ron's going to be talking about Jonah. Remember Jonah, when he decided to do it his way, what happened? He was in the belly of a great fish for 3 days. God gave him a 3-day timeout inside of a fish. And so there are consequences for going our way and not following God's way. And I think every child knows the consequence if you don't do it. And how many parents have said, "It's my way or the highway," right? And every child knows that if you do something wrong, if you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar, there's going to be a consequence for you. But there is something we need to understand about God too. God is holy and just. He has to address our behavior, our sin. But God is also a merciful God. In the case of Balaam, what did he do? He put an angel there. But not only an angel, he gave the donkey the ability to see that angel. And he gave that donkey that ability to actually protect Balaam from a fate where he would be dead. I have to remind you of another donkey. And this donkey carried our Lord and Savior into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. There was no angel in front of that donkey to stop it. Jesus rode on that donkey into Jerusalem. And there, he was beaten, he was mocked, he was spat upon, he suffered and died. Nails went into his hands and feet, a spear into his very side, for a bunch of stubborn donkeys who want to do it their way. Us, a bunch of Balaams who want to do it our way and not God's way. And yet our God loved us so much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him has eternal life. You see, our God is a merciful God. And he sends he who has no sin to suffer and die for we who have sin. That's who our God is. There are consequences when we knowingly misbehave according to the Word of God, when we knowingly follow other paths, when we knowingly and willingly listen to competing voices with God, and we follow those paths. And those consequences lead to a lot of heartache and hurt. They lead to despair. And the joy gets sucked out of our lives. Balaam's riding along, and all of a sudden, the donkey, for the third time, finally just lays down. And can you imagine Balaam, what happened then? The donkey turns around to him. He says, "Why are you beating me?" And he says, "I've been your donkey your whole life. I've been faithful to you, haven't I?" And Balaam says, "Yeah, but you know, this is irritating me. I'd kill you if I had a sword." And then Balaam's eyes are opened, and he sees what the consequence of going further would be. The angel who says, "I would have killed you if you took another step." God comes to us in word and sacrament, but God also comes to us in some surprising ways. Some weird ways sometimes. There's a passage that I think is a cautionary passage in the Scripture, which always has always been one that I've related to, especially since an incident I experienced back in 1962. I'd like to read it to you. It's from Hebrews 13. "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Boy, what a passage, you know. Who does that? Who would be attaining? In some of the most surprising ways, God comes to us. I want to tell you about an incident that I had in 1962 as a student at Concordia Collegiate Institute, Bronxville, New York, just a little bit north of New York City. I went to school there. And one of my jobs on the weekend was to do youth ministry in a church in Brooklyn. And so I would hop on the train, go to Grand Central Station, and pick up a subway and go to the church and do my work. And I'd be carrying with me these cans of juice and cookies and all kinds of stuff, you know, with me to provide some kind of food for these folks. And then at night, I would get usually about 8, 9 o'clock at night, I'd hop on the subway and head back out to Bronxville. And one night I was on the train by myself with a bag full of what was leftovers at that point of cookies and maybe a can of juice or something like that. And there was an older woman sitting there on the train. And I don't know how familiar you are with New York and subways. You don't sit right next to the person if you don't have to, and you look straight ahead. You don't make eye contact, okay? It's just the way you ride subways there. And so I was doing my thing, and I hear this voice next to me saying, "Do you have any food?" And it was the lady who was next, a couple seats down from me, and I said, "Well, I really don't have any food, but I do have some cookies." And she said, "That would be great. That'd be good if you could give me some of that. I'm just so hungry. I haven't eaten in days." And so I did. I gave her what was left of the cookies, and I went back to being a New York subway rider and not making eye contact. In about 30 seconds, I looked over to the side, and she was no longer there. Now, say what you want, but this passage came right to my mind. Doesn't God sometimes entertain us or and interact with us in some very special and unique ways? The same way he interacted with Balaam through the voice of a donkey. God is powerful. God is creator. God has no limits in the way he wants us to interact with him and the way he interacts with us. Now, normally it's in word and sacrament, but sometimes it's also with donkeys. I remember as a teenager in my house thinking actually that I knew everything. Any of you as teenagers ever think that? Any teenagers here think that you know kind of everything? We used to have a sign in our house that said, "Hire a teenager while they still know everything." You know, it's a really good sign. And whether we want to admit it or not, we were all teenagers at one point, and we thought we had the world by the tail, didn't we? We knew everything. And in that context, I really thought my parents were donkeys, okay? I really didn't think they knew anything. And yet, I cannot tell you how many times those donkeys sat down and practiced tough love. I can't tell you how many times those donkeys said, "You can't go any farther." See, God sometimes puts people and situations in our lives which are really our donkeys, just like Balaam's donkey. And God prevents us from going places that we shouldn't go. Now, we can persist and we can still go there, but God tries and tries and tries, when we least expect it, to put things there so that we won't take those dangerous steps and those dangerous paths. Primarily, he speaks to us in his word, in the sacraments of Holy Communion, as we have today before us, and in holy baptism. But sometimes he sends donkeys. There's a story about a thoroughbred or purebred bloodhound who was on the hunt in England. And the bloodhound got the scent of a deer, of a buck. And he was on the path for that buck, and he started running after it, and then across the path of that deer came a fox. And the bloodhound took off after the fox. And after a little while, a rabbit crossed the path, and the bloodhound took off after the rabbit. And then a little while later, a field mouse came running across the path, and the dog took off after that field mouse, chased it to the farmer's barn. I want you to think about staying on the path. This dog, this purebred bloodhound, had gone from being a noble chaser of a deer to barking at a mouse in a barn. How often do the baubles of this world, whatever they might be, power, wealth, lust, whatever they might be, materialism, all of those things, take us down all those different paths until we end up barking at a mouse? God, through his word, gives us a clear path in life that leads beyond life to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you're going down a path and all of a sudden a donkey in your life sits down, thank him for it. Amen. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, you have laid out a path for us, and you have given us a path that is perfect. For Jesus says to us, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And he says to us, "I will lay my life down for the sheep." We thank you, Lord, for those blessings. And we ask that we might return to you from the blessings that you pour into our lives, a portion of that which you have given us. Bless us now as we continue our worship with our offerings. In Jesus' name, amen.